Well, we've got a bit of illness in the camp. I mean, Roger's not in today. We've had it during the week, one or two. But I think it's just a 24-hour thing, and we hope that we don't get anyone else from now on.
So you're still optimistic that Roger will be fit for this?
Yeah, Roger will be fit. Listen, he wanted to come in and do some bite work, but we said to him best just to stay away. We've sent Andy away, who's the fitness coach. He's had a bit of sickness and diarrhoea, and it's best just to keep him away from the place rather than infect anyone else.
Can we get a status check on Kieran Lee? How's he coming along?
Kieran's on that long road. He's doing his gym work, he's swimming and everything else. There's not a great deal we can do with him because the injury that he's got is probably more rest than anything else. So he's probably still a few months away yet.
You had the bad news on the Semedo appeal. Since you've looked back at that incident, do you think in hindsight it was a red card, or do you stand by?
I stand by. It wasn't a red card. The criteria is you have to be at pace, out of control, no chance of winning the ball. He's not at pace, he's won the ball, and there's no follow through, so we stand by it.
So a blow to lose him for three games, because he did quite well in that game.
It'd be a blow to lose anybody that you've got in your club, and Semi's won his place back, been playing well. It's a big disappointment for him, but there's nothing we can do about it now. We can't reappeal or whatever. We can't find out why they've said what they said. You just got to get on with it.
Does he deserve some credit as well? Because I think it's fair to say that he struggled a little bit at times in the Championship last year, but he's come back this season. You know, he's got his head down and he has forced his way back in.
But that's what you want players to do. I mean, you know, we look at someone like Joe Mattock. He's had probably not the best of times here, but all of a sudden everything seems to be clicked in and he's doing really well. And unfortunately, he picked up an injury at the time when he's probably his best football he's been playing here. But he's come back totally different now. What's changed? You know, you've got players here that might need to adapt to this level, and it might just take longer than what you expect or, you know, want them to do. But sometimes it's easy to always look at someone's negative rather than all the good things they've got, and keep working at them and work at the negative things that you hope we will make better.
Did you have to pick him up at all? I mean, he was in a bit of a state, wasn't he, when he got the red card?
Yeah, but listen, he was normally responsive players are. Show you whether you feel it's good, bad, or, you know, not a tackle. And at the end of the day, I didn't see one Bolton player. Well, all I saw was Bolton were annoyed that they weren't allowed to play on. So nobody on that pitch, everybody thought it was a decent tackle. You can make all your comments afterwards, whatever you want. But one thing I know about Semi is he's not that type of player. He's gone for the ball, he's in control, he's won the ball. And of course, because you're sliding in, your follow through is naturally going to go. Studs weren't up, his follow through wasn't up. But they've decided that's it, and we have to take that now. And Semi, unfortunately, misses him for three games.
On the whole, just how encouraging was the performance by the team at the weekend?
We've had that. You know, we've had encouraging performances. We've got to turn our draws into wins. That's the most important thing for us. That's where we're disappointed, but also how close we are. And, you know, I've just been asked now about, but we got the winner. We scored the winner. It was taken away from us, and it wasn't any fault of anybody's. We've worked for the goal, we've earned the goal, and then it's been spotted that, well, offside or an infringement, whatever. But when you look back, and as I've just said to the other press guys there, that, you know, I've had good dialogue with the referees, society and everything else, and, OK, they tell me it's a good goal and they've made a mistake, and that will help them get better. Unfortunately, it's something I can't turn around, but the more we have that dialogue, then the better it is.
It's no consolation to you, that, is it? And there's been a few incidents like that.
Well, it's consolation is that they're listening to you and they're going to try and make it better. You know, we asked them to look at a tackle. Unfortunately, the referee was turned at his back and was running away from it and didn't see it. But it's a straight red. And they now confirm that. But hopefully the referee will learn from it. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are, how experienced you are. You can always learn. And as I've just said earlier, that I've had some really good dialogue with them, both FA and Football League referees. And it's a long time since I've had that, because they never seem to want to know.
Is that something that's getting better then, the dialogue?
Well, it only happened last week, so.
But as an improvement, you know, were they starting to talk?
I hope so.
Managers and stuff
yeah,
like
because
that?
you know, because when you're having a go at them, they think they're moaning at you or whatever. But listen, I'll make mistakes. I'll make a judgment call, and then when you see it back, you've got it wrong. And I think we've got to be big enough to own up to that. Can't hide away from it, because if you've made it, you've made it. And if you give the reason why you've done it, then all well and good. Don't try and cover it up or whatever. And the game will only benefit from that. They have the hard job, and I admit that. I would never be a referee. I certainly wouldn't be a fourth official, because he gets it from everyone. Good, bad, you know. If we think it's right, the opposition will think it's wrong. But they've got to listen more to us. They've got to take our experience. We're at it every day. It's not something that we turn up. It's not something that we look at videos and everything else. We're at the bottom end of it every day. So they have to use our experience, whether they like it or not, and we have to gain knowledge from them, because I am still not sure what this second and third phase is. I haven't got a clue what it is, because it changes every time we ask the question, it's second phase. And I was told that on an offside decision, and then when you look at it, it should have been given offside. So I think it's how you interpret it, and the more we talk, the better we will get to know about it.
Should they spend more time with the teams during the summer to go through these things?
Yeah, but some of them are part-time. The ones that are full-time, they should get around clubs. They should come in and referee games and just training games and everything else. Okay, people say they get friendly with players and everything else. That shouldn't make any difference whether they're friendly or they're not. There should be somebody from Sheffield that referees a Sheffield game against another club, because we're told they're not biased, we're told all this, and they're not, so why shouldn't they? And as I said, the job is hard enough, but they need dialogue as much as we do, because we need to interpret it better, we need to get it right, and the only way I see is coming in here, taking a training session when we do a game or training, and they referee it. Sometimes we referee and we get it wrong and the players are moaning at us. Very rare, but we do now and again. We just had one this morning. They said it was in, we said it was out.
Who got the final decision?
Oh, it's always the managers.
You've got Matty Fryer for this game. Have you had a conversation with Hull City about
it? Not yet. No, we're going to get it out the way, and then we'll have a few days and we'll sit down and speak to Matty and then speak to Steve.
Confident?
I hope so. Listen, I want to keep all the good players. We're still trying to bring some players in, and we'll continue to do that.
Ahead of this weekend, hopefully you might get one or two.
I'm always hopeful. Whether it happens, we'll see. If it doesn't, then we go with what we've got.
You've made another change in the back four the weekend. Camille comes back in. You said you wanted the extra pace in there. But you've had to chop and change so much, whether it's injuries, suspensions or whatever at the back. Do you know yet what your first choice back four ideally would be? Or are you still sort of working on that?
No, because you have players in your football club that you think will do you the job at the time. That's why you have squads. You might have 15, 16 players that could all play week in, week out, but it might be that you have a certain player that can do a certain job within that game that you feel, so you change it. And we'll continue to do that. Everybody does that. If you can keep the same 11 without injury and everything else, and it's going well, and all well and good, but if you've also got others that are chomping at the bit, and if they're doing well and they feel they can do better than the person that's in, then you change it.
How do you think Camille's done so far in his first few games at the club?
Yeah, I think he's done okay. I mean, he's had good games and he's had a poor game, but Saturday he made a mistake, and that was probably the only mistake he made in the whole game. He scored some goals. He's a very, very good defender. He's experienced. He's done as well as anybody else.
And Roger Johnson's looked good so far, hasn't he?
Well, I've worked with Roger before. I know Roger's strengths. I know his weaknesses. Again, if you'd have been here early enough rather than being late, you'd have got the conversation. You've got the downside to us at this moment is when you bring players in on loan, you have to get them fit within your games rather than the pre-season. And that, unfortunately, takes two or three games to get up. Roger, in his first game, will tell you he didn't feel sharp and everything else. But since then, he's worked hard in training, he's worked hard in his games, and now you're seeing the best of him. And there's still more to come. He's an organiser, he's a shouter, he's a baller, He's everything that, you know, we didn't have. And that might upset people sometimes, but he's always at it. And he might shout some good things, and he might get it wrong now and again, but he's always at it, and that keeps people on their toes.
Is that where we really see the benefits of a pre-season, you know, where you can work with the players, you can get them settled and everything like that?
Yeah, I said that early on. If you go back to interviews, it was always trying to get players in that you wanted as early as possible, because then you can get them everybody settled. You know, we've got players in that are still adapting to the Championship, some still adapting to the English style of play as well, the English mentality, the English culture. And unfortunately, sometimes that does take a little bit longer. And you can go and pay, you know, and I used the Torres one. He moved to Chelsea, and because he'd played in the country for Liverpool for a few years, everyone automatically thinks that the change is, but it's a completely different football club, a different way of things are being done. Different players are there, different style. And now you look, I think he's different class, me, but he's now probably benefiting, getting a year at it with all the turmoil that went on, and you'll see the benefit from him now. And that can happen to players even that have been in this country. So the ones that come in also need a little bit of time.
Those guys deserve a bit of credit. I mean, Stephen McPhail was fantastic at the weekend. He's another player who's sort of come in and done a bit of training with you, but you've signed him, and he has sort of got on with it, although he would have benefited from a pre-season as well, wouldn't he?
Well, you need to play games. You need to be in the training programme. They were training on their own. We brought them in. They were training with us, but we couldn't play them, and they need games. And the game scenario to training is completely different. You just don't get it. You don't get match pace. Because in training, you can just take your foot off the gas a little bit, and you never really push yourself to the limit. You should do, but nobody really does. It's very hard to recreate. It's like taking penalties. You know, you can take penalties every day in training. As soon as you put in a goal and you put in 5,000-6,000 fans behind the goal, the whole picture changes. Although you've got to practice it, you can't recreate it unless you're in that situation, and that's the same with players playing games.
Was McPhail perhaps the kind of player you were missing at the start of the season, you know, in midfield?
Well, I think he's something that the club's missed for a long time. I think he's at his best. There's nobody better at this level for me. He's a good pro, he's an honest pro, he works hard, he gets on with it. He mightn't be as vocal as probably what Roger is, but just his demeanour, you look at Semi, you know. Semi looks a better player on the ball because he's around somebody who's calm, cool and collective and wants the ball all the time. So maybe Semi's passing has got a little bit shorter than anything else, and he's benefiting. And people within the club, or young players within the club, looking at him, seeing him, and I've said that. And that goes for a lot of players around the country that are at clubs. Who's your biggest teachers, you know, mentors within the club? And if you can't learn from what he's got, then who do you learn from?
Ideally, what's the sort of the ideal player you'd love to what kind of player would you love to put alongside of Stephen McPhail to sort of help him as well?
Someone who's good on the ball. So, you know, Semi's works every day at passing, but it's not about the passing, it's not about the tackling. A lot of football is always about the decision making. What decision you make, what pass you're going to make, and sometimes it might be the right pass, you just executed it wrong. You haven't put enough weight on it, you've overhit it, underhit it, whatever. It's a learning process for everybody that trains and everybody that plays, and we continue to do that. Otherwise, we just turn up on a Saturday and play. And everybody works here really hard to try and fit in around each other, know each other's strengths, knows each other's weaknesses.
You're going to come up against Chris O'Grady this weekend, former Sheffield Wednesday player, of course. He has scored goals for Barnsley, big fans' favourite at Oakwell. Manager talks very highly of him. Do you have any regrets at all that you sold him in hindsight?
No. He didn't score goals, you know, he wasn't scoring for us. So sometimes moving a player out and finding another club is benefit to him and the way they play and everything else. But you can always say that. Every player you let go, everyone will say, well, you let him go. And at the time, you know, people say he mightn't be doing it for here. So, no, there's no regrets, and I'm sure Chris has no regrets. There's no animosity whatsoever. People always think because you're letting someone go, there's always animosity between you, and there isn't. He decided you know, that this was the best place for him. He went to Barnsley, he's done well. He's had, he scored some goals, and as I said, you know, a little bit of luck on Saturday. You tell me that he knew where the ball was going, then great. But that's the luck you've got sometimes, and he might just have found the club that suits him, like a lot of players around the country.
I suppose it is very easy to sell. Why did Sheffield Wednesday sell that player? But it could be one of those situations where it was just a good move for all concerned. Could it be classified as that?
Yeah, it was. It was good for Chris. It was good for the club. You know, how many players go back to clubs and you say, oh, I wish we hadn't got rid of him, or shouldn't have got rid of him? It always seems to be when you play against them, never seems to be any other time. So the decision was made and that was it, and you move on. But you're always going to come across players that you've let go or have been at this club or whatever. That's football, because players move around.
How much of an advantage is it when you come up against players that you've managed before? Can you ever pass on sort of advice that this is what you need to do against a player like this? Can that ever help?
No, you know your homework anyway. You know, you do your homework on players anyway. So you might just have a slight advantage that you know what makes them tick and everything else, what he thrives on. So, yeah, you can have a little advantage, but at the end of the day, you know, he'll want to come back and do well. And I'm sure the defenders, you know, the two defenders that are here at the moment and in the team, and Camille and Roger, have probably played against him, but not with him. So, you know, we can pass on that advantage, what we think is his strengths and what we think his weaknesses are. But at the end of the day, that'll change on Saturday when he plays.
They've also got Jack Butland, who was a player that you were linked with quite a lot a few weeks ago. I mean, how close were you? Were you interested in Jack Butland for a time?
Yeah, of course we were. Been interested in a lot of players that will come again across that we had in the building or we were talking to and trying to get. But unfortunately, you know, we missed out on him. But yeah, we were close to it, just weren't close enough.
How similar is this game to the one last year at Oakwell? You know, the situation, both clubs sort of down near the wrong end of the table. How similar is it?
It's similar because of that. But with that, there'll be a lot of players that didn't play last year for both teams. And so it'll be completely different. And what we've got to do is just go there. We're full of confidence. We're coming off the back of some good performances. Okay, they're not wins, but they're good performances. And as I've just said before, we need to turn the draws into wins.
Was it a turning point last year, do you think, getting that win?
Well, everybody says that, but it's, you know, if you look at the stats, you'll have to say yes, but it could have been done just before or just after. Every win you get is a turning point within the season. It's, you know, earlier on, it's you guys that look at all the stats and turn it into some sort of, you know, storyline and everything else, and
it's a good one, though,
and that's
it?
Your job. That's your job. That's what it's all about. My job is to make sure that the players are fully focused and know that they've got to do battle against a team that will want to do well against us as much as we'll want to do well against them.
You must feel like it's coming close, though, the way that your team.
I do. I thought it was there. Well, it was there Saturday. It was there, and it was taken away from me. But as I said to the players, keep playing, keep doing the right things, and if we play like we did on Saturday, then we'll probably win more than we draw.
Can you take anything from the games? You beat them twice last year. The second one at Hillsborough, though it only ended 2-1, was a pretty comprehensive victory overall.
Yeah,
can you get anything out of those?
Yeah, but it's different players again. They might, you know, probably 56% of the team that played will be playing, and same with us. So, yeah, you'll take all that. But no, it's a completely different game, different players, different circumstances, and they're coming off the back of a good victory. We're coming off the back of a good performance with a draw. So both teams will be buoyant, both teams will be confident. And then you throw in local derby, Norm wanting to make a mistake, full house, a lot of noise, a lot of anger. Mix it all up and hopefully you get the result that you want.
Just one final one. How tough is the job of a manager becoming? And Ian Holloway's lost his job this week. We've seen Martin Allen lose his job after just winning promotion. David Weir down the road, lasted 10 league games. Is it becoming harder to be a manager in English football at the moment, do you think, from all your experience?
Well, you got to look at, you know, if someone has said to me the other day, you know, because you're not doing well, all of a sudden you've become a bad manager. If you look at someone like the Tottenham manager, who had a torrid time at Chelsea, but then ends up at another Premiership club, but Tottenham. So it's not always about you've become a bad manager because you're getting the wrong results. A lot of circumstances go into it. Things mightn't just happen for you at that club, as I said, but it doesn't mean you've become a bad manager. I've listened to some of Ollie's interview. Ollie, the biggest thing that he said was he felt tired. He's the one who said he didn't feel that players were given this and given that. And only Ollie can answer that because he's within the heart of it. If you take somebody who sits behind the panel and then criticises the club and the players and everything else and knows nothing about it because he's seen a five-minute clip, is wrong. So Ollie is the best person to answer that. Probably all the other managers that have gone, Tony and everyone else, they're the questions you should be asking them because they know what's been going on. Is it becoming harder? It's never been any different, to be honest.
But you clocked up 700 games at the weekend. Do you think that could end up being a bit of a collector's item in football, that managers might not be able to get up to 700 games in the future?
And that's in a short career as a manager as well. So the one thing it tells you is I've been in work for a long time, which is good. And my record is there, so it's pretty decent. It's been promotions and everything else and staying in divisions. So it's all there. But because then you might go through, like now, you know, a situation where you've drawn seven and lost three or four, then all of a sudden, have I become a bad manager? I don't think so. I think it can be down to circumstances and lots of other things. People might think change is right, and Ollie thought change was right for that club because he probably just had enough. Would he have turned it round? Knowing Ollie, he probably would say yes if given the time. But he felt it was right for him to go. And there's people will say that it's not right for me to go, but the hierarchy have made that decision. And I've said many times before here, if you look back over the last 15, 16 years, that's how long I've been manager, 15, 16, I think it is, 16 years, 700 games, whatever it is. How many managers have you had here?
A lot.
A lot. And are we any better? Are we any worse or whatever? Are you back where the Holy Grail is and the Premiership and everything else? No. So maybe if you give people time, and there might be good times and there might be some bad times, but I said as long as you see progress. At the moment, everybody thinks that they have the magic formula. You've just got someone who's gone in at Man United, best players and everything else, but there's a transition. And all of a sudden, now David's the worst manager in the world and everything else. And is he? I don't think so. I think they're very good. But the best scenario is if you're going on results, then how does somebody go from that club to another big club? Because they see the record and what they're capable of doing. It mightn't have worked out there for whatever reason, but other owners think that it's right for this.